You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. The scripture reading today is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, let's get started with prayer, and we'll get going. Father God, we pause now and say thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for what you've accomplished in him and the fact that we're members of the body of Christ and get to participate in the blessings and the inheritance that you've given us, where we're seated far above all principalities and perils. Matter of fact, we're above everything that is named, not only on this earth, but in the heavenlies far above. We are seated there with Christ, and we thank you for that blessing. And the fact that we have been forgiven of our sins, past, present, and future, and we're able to fellowship with you in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for the scriptures where we'll study and set a time this side to get to know you better and hopefully deliver a lesson that's approved in your sight and being found most faithful. So we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the lesson to follow. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Well, Derek has been teaching on the Colossians study. And if you haven't gone to the website and listened to the lessons that have been given, not only on the Colossians study, but on the hope of the church of the one body, it would be wise to do so. If you have not listened to those lessons and series of lessons that Derek has been given, I really encourage you to go back and listen to them. We have taken the time to put together handouts for each lesson that not only covers the scriptures, but covers the lesson intent, what was trying to be conveyed. And, you know, I've been taking time to do that, and Derek and I have been working together. And it's a real blessing to go back and, when you hear it the first time, it's great. You know, Derek here is teaching. But when I have edited it, it's even better because it takes out the hum and haws and paper turnings and, you know, cuts out all the waste of time. So you have a little file that encapsulates the lesson. It's really a blessing to go back and listen to it. And when you hear it the second time, you get more out of it. Well, in the Colossians study, basically, we have been seeing Paul, the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, and he has declared of a state of mind of being thankful. He was expressing to be thankful for everything that God the Father has done for us in Christ Jesus. We often take for granted what we should be thankful for. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is health. We take for granted health. You know, we went to the football game this weekend, and I really was kind of excited to go see OU play Baylor. Notice I said kind of. But, you know, it's fun to go to these football games, but, you know, I have to walk to the stadium. I have walk-up bleachers. I have to navigate the benches. And normally that's not a problem, but when you have a bum hip, it's really a bummer. You know, you all of a sudden, when you're walking the stadium, instead of feeling excited about the OU band being on the field, that my thought is, oh, please don't trip. I don't want to have to fall in front of 50 or 60,000 people because they're all looking at me. So, you know, we're often not thankful for our health, which we have every day. We're often not thankful for our families. We take for granted. Every morning we get up, we go do what we're supposed to do, and we come home and we are in a fight to get the kids bathed and in bed in proper PJs. And we fall into bed and often go to sleep ourselves. And we don't take the time to say thank you to our spouses for being just super. You know, we don't take gratitude for our parents. Often, you know, I think about the times when my dad has been passed away now for coming up on 8 years. 8 years he's been gone. And I think back to the time, did I show him my appreciation for being thankful what he had given to me? Well, you know, I think I did, but I really thought I probably took that for granted. Right now, my mom is fighting emphysema. And she went to the doctor, and they have discovered a growth on her lungs. And they had tried to biopsy that growth and couldn't really get to it. So all they could say was, let's just watch it. So she has to go back every other month to get another picture. So she went back this last week, and the growth has grown. It's instead of like 2 inches now, it's like 3 inches. So they reviewed what they could do as far as options of how to treat it. And every option leaves her in a much worse shape than he is now. So the only option is just to wait and see what it does. So he says, let's wait until February so they can go in and take another biopsy and see if we can find out if it's cancerous or not at that time. So she's mentally wrestling with this growth in my lung. Is it cancerous? Is it benign? So I went over there on Saturday to visit with her and, you know, talk about being thankful for what we have. And she knows where she's going to go, but the human body, the flesh, fights it because the flesh wants to live forever. And I was sitting there trying to equate my hip to her lung. You know, I said, man, you know, it's just a bummer. But everybody's trying to tell her what to do. Opinions are coming out of the woodwork. Like, oh, you need a second opinion. You need to go see somebody, N.B. Anderson. You just need to say, okay, chuck it in. Let's just wait. Let's play the waiting game. So she really feels like that's the best thing to do. And I agreed with her and said, you know, I don't think your doctor that you've been with for 7 years is giving you a bum rap. And, you know, it's hard to be thankful. You know, how could she be thankful sitting there with bad lungs and a growth in her lungs and being concerned about is it cancerous or not? When I sit in the football stadium and my hip makes it not fun to get up and cheer, you know, that's a bummer. You know, I want to go up, jump up and down and say, beat those guys. When I'm standing at my son's football game, trying to take pictures, that's my new hobby, to be a photographic genius. And, you know, instead of standing there wanting to run up and down the field, taking, you know, better pictures, I really don't move as much as I want because it hurts my hip. Why should I be thankful? Well, let's look at the word thankful. If we go to the dictionary, we find the definition that says thankful. It's an adjective to be aware and appreciative of a benefit, grateful, being expressive of gratitude, a thankful smile. If you look at the root word thankful, you get to word thank. And thank is a transitive verb, or is like thanked or thanking or thanks. And the definition of thank is to express gratitude, giving thanks to, like he thanked her for a gift, to hold responsible credit, meaning we can thank the parade for this traffic jam. That's from the American Heritage Dictionary, 4th edition, which is a copyright 2006. Well, we send our children to a Christian school, and they often say, okay, if you look up a word in the dictionary, you need to go to Noah Webster's 1828 American Heritage Dictionary, because it says here, this dictionary contains the greatest number of biblical definitions given in any reference volume. Webster considered education useless without the Bible. Noah Webster believed that the Bible and Christianity played an important role in the lives of a free people and its government. In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis for any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. Noah knew what was going on. So if we look up thankful in his dictionary, we find thankful being a grateful, impressed with a sense of kindness received, and ready to acknowledge. Literally, you could say the Lord's Supper is to be celebrated with a thankful remembrance of his sufferings and death. In Psalms 100, it says, "Be thankful to him and bless his name." Thankfully is in its dictionary defined this way, an adverb with a great real sense of favor or kindness received. In the sentence, you would say, "If you have lived, take thankfully the past." Thankfulness in his dictionary is a noun which is an expression of gratitude, acknowledgement, or a favor. Thank you. Gratitude, a lively sense of a good received. In a sentence, it's the celebration of these holy mysteries being ended, retire with all thankfulness of heart for having been admitted to that heavenly feast. Keep in mind, Noah was a Christian, but he was not a right division follower. So we have much to be thankful for in the mystery. In this body of truth that we discover what God has done for us, past tense, for us and in his Son, Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6 says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is such an important part of prayer life. It says in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, we've seen the definition in these dictionaries, and we see Paul saying in Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father. But here he says, we're made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. The actual translation of this verse, saints, says saints, but if we emphasize here what this translation that we are members of the body of Christ, who have been raised and seated with Christ in the heavenlies far above, if you look at the translation in verse 12, where it says saints in light, you might ask yourself, where are these saints? Where do they reside? If we're made fit to be saints in light, where is that? Here on earth? With a bum hip, a bad lung? Poor eyesight? No, it's not here. This means God has made us to sit where his Son is, which is the holiest places of all. So he's sitting in the holiest place of all, and we have been made fit to sit with him there. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 18, in chapter 2, verse 19. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigner, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In verse 118, the meaning behind the phrase, in the saints, is a place for the Holy of Holies. The same goes for Ephesians 2:19, where it says, fellow citizens with the saints. The phrase with the saints means the holiest place of all. We pretty much gain an understanding of that when we look at the way the worship was set up in the Israel or legal system. In a Paul talks about this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 through 9, where he's talking about what was establish as a way to worship in Israel was a picture of what actually is in place in the heavenlies far above all. So read with me, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein there was a candlestick and the table and the showed bread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of the glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always first into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, with blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So this picture of this high priest going with the blood into the holiest of all places is a shadow of what actually exists in the heavenlies. The wording in verse 8, holiest of all, is the same Greek wording that was used in Colossians 1:12 and Ephesians 1:18 and 2:19. So in Ephesians 2:19, we see that we are placed in the holiest of all places. How can this be? God did it all. We see this in Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. It says, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us this in Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, we hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are both in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. That is the purpose of the body of Christ, as we see in Ephesians 2, 14 through 19. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Verse 19 there says, we are fellow citizens in the Holy of Holies, which is where God is making himself a habitation in the heavenlies far above. Read about this further in Ephesians 4:16. It says there, from whom the body fitly joined together and compacted by that which is every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto edifying itself in love. There is a building that is going on with his body. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Paul here is talking about a place called the Holy of Holies, where the body of Christ resides, and we are sitting there with him right now. So we are here on the earth in this body of flesh with the old man, but the new man are sitting with him in the heavenly, in the holy of holiest place, and we're sitting there playing chess with the Lord. when we go back and read Colossians 1:12, we start to understand this unique calling in a unique location with a unique position, and what that is what God has done for us. Whom, it says in verse Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of his darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, where is this kingdom? We've talked about in the Colossians study, Derek talked about, you know, there's a confusion with the callings. People often talk about the kingdom of heaven. Well, the kingdom of heaven is God's, and it resides here on earth when he sets it up through Israel. The kingdom of here, dear Son, is in the holiest, holiest of places, and we're sitting there with him. This kingdom is in the heavenlies, far above all, and that's where we sit. We have so much to be thankful for. If you look at scriptures and cover just in the mystery books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, in those books alone, Paul has expressed multiple passages that talks about being thankful, giving thanks, having a spirit of thanksgiving. Like you can see, I've captured some of these verses in this handout here. You see in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We read it Philippians 4:6 a while ago. In that it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 2:7, we're rooted and built up in him, and we are established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer, watching the same, with thanksgiving. In 1 Timothy 4, we're told about people in these latter times that abstain from marrying, and they also abstain from meats which God have created to be received with thanksgiving. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Paul talked about the church at Ephesus when he was praying. He said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in your prayers, my prayers. Ephesians 5, it says, there's a certain way not to behave, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So being thankful is a proper attitude. When you have thankfulness or being thankful as a number one thought in your mind, you behave a certain way. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to the God and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Now, read with me here. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who shall all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 there, we're told that giving thanks should be made for all men, especially for kings and for all those that are in authority. Why? Well, we find the answer in verse 4. God desire is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Thomas asked the Lord Jesus a question how we know how to get to heaven. He answered, Jesus answered him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christianity is a pretty narrow religion. There's only one way. Man doesn't like that. Man likes to think there are many ways. If I'm good, you know, there have been sayings, if you show up at heaven's door, they won't ask you how big your home was. They'll ask you how much did you share your home with others. They're going to ask you not how much money you made, but how much money did you share with others. You know, they like to get that group hub kind of big hug mentality, hug theology, big group hug theology. But in fact, the Lord will have one question for you. Who is my son? Do you believe that I raised him from the dead? Do you believe what I've done in my son for you? Who was he in your life? Noah Webster knew this. Noah Webster believed that the Bible and Christianity played an important role in the lives of free people and his government. He said, in my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. There's scripture on that. No truth is more evident to my mind than the Christian religion must be the basis for any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. Now, today in America, what are we doing with the Word of God? We are trying to take it out of everything we do. We're trying to take it off our money. We have taken it out of schools. We have removed it from praying in schools. We have worked really hard to put religion of Christianity on a shelf, and it can only be used on Sunday without offense to people. So if you quote the scriptures that are offensive, it's defined as hate speech. So we've come a long way in America. And I'm sure we'll even go further. But as right now, we still have the freedom to come together and crack the Bible and get into it daily and grow up in Christ and come close to Him and be ready to give an answer to any man that asks us of the reason of hope that's within us with meekness and fear. And to be thankful with a bum hip. Be thankful with bad eyes. Be thankful with a bum lung. Be thankful for our family, for our spouses, for our children. That's hard. Thankful for everything we have, but most of all, what we have in Christ, because all the things I mentioned are here in the earth. We're sitting in there with heaven, in the heavenlies, holiest of holiest places, with Christ. Now, if you try to start think about that, what's it like? We're going to be there. Once we get out of this body of death, we'll be raised and seated with Him in the holiest of holiest places. That's pretty exciting. But in the meantime, He says, while you're here on this earth, you have good works to do to help people see what God wants you to do, which is first, help all people see who He is and what He has done for them. And once they receive that, then He wants you to help Him to grow up in Scripture, rightly divided, so they know what is addressed to them, so they know how to walk. There are a whole bunch of Scriptures today that are suffering from wrong division, following doctrine that's from a different dispensation and trying to apply it to them today. And they fail. And they're frustrated because they don't understand why they can't heal. They don't understand why they can't have the power to overcome something You know, is it my faith? Have I lost my faith? So maybe I can lose my salvation. That kind of thinking is an error. When you come to the Lord and you come to the Scriptures and you've been given the truth in the mystery, you realize now that you've been seated past tense and all has been conquered because of God, what He's done. There's nothing left for you to do. He's done it all. Often at times you sit there and go, okay, well, you know, what can I do for the Lord? You know, what I need to do? He's done it all. Now, I believe next week Derek will be back to cover in the Colossians study what in Colossians the doctrine is, how to behave as a Christian nowadays. What kind of work should you do? So today is November 11th. Today is Veterans Day. So we should be thankful for our veterans. We have a veteran in our congregation, Charlie Carlson. He's a veteran of World War II. You don't have many of those nowadays. I was over at Marquita's house, and she was talking about Charlie's war record, and she was trying to get all of it documented, because who knows how long they have. And she said that he has a Purple Heart. And he thought it was no big deal. You know, I'll just go over there and kill Germans. So it was really fun to listen to him talk about, you know, days of when he was in the war and the effort that he did. And, you know, I listened, you know, I thought it was neat. But I left that house without really thanking him for his service to the country, taking it for granted. So the last page of your handout, and on the back of the bulletin today, the back of the bulletin has the proclamation from the President Bush. And on the back of the handout, you see the announcement by Jordan Mansfield, the acting Secretary of the Veterans Organization. So let's read the back page of the handout together. On this Veterans Day 2007, we come together as a nation to thank our veterans for their service and to let them know that their service and sacrifices will never be taken for granted. Americans are blessed to live in a nation of democracy and freedom. For these blessings, we thank our veterans. Here and in communities across the great country, we honor veterans for protecting and securing democracy and freedom throughout our history. Our veterans are everyday men and women who know as friends and neighbors, relatives and colleagues, who have served our country in extraordinary ways. They have preserved and strengthened our country and made their sacrifices beyond duty's call. Even as we honor them this Veterans Day, their successors are courageously defending our freedoms at home and abroad. Veterans and their families are truly among our finest citizens. At the Department of Veterans Affairs, we are proud to fulfill the solemn pledge of President Abraham Lincoln, who during his second inaugural address on March 4, 1865, set forth our obligation to care for those injured in body and spirit in the defense of our nation and for the families of those who made their ultimate sacrifice. The VA and the over a quarter million men and women serving in it give daily endorsement of President Lincoln's commitment and do so in spirit of compassion, respect, sensitivity of gratitude. And let us today therefore remember Lincoln's charge to us. With malice toward none and with charity for all, with firmness in their right, as God give us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds and to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. So with that, we thank our veterans for the freedoms we celebrate in this country. And let's go ahead and close our prayer. Father, we pause now to say thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you that we get to sit with him in the heavenlies far above all, where there's the holiest of holies, and we're seated with him there right now. We thank you for the fact that you've done that. We thank the fact that you are building a body, and we are the member of the body of Christ, and we really yearn to be approved in your sight, hopefully with the calling we have in the mystery in right division. We are actively helping people understand the Word of God better, so they might know what their calling is and where their position is in Him. We thank you for Veterans Day, that we get to celebrate our veterans in America here, and the fact that they secured our freedoms, and the fact that we have a Christian-based republic. And we thank you for the founders of America who really constrained, just like Noah Webster. He felt that Christianity was the basis of a proper government, and basically securing the freedoms biblically and spiritually and nationally for the people in America. So we thank you for everything you've done, for it's in Christ's name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.